Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Lauren Lapid, a 22-year-old from the suburbs of Southern California, a recent-ish college graduate, and now just still a fresh New Yorker trying to adult in this crazy post-college life. You're listening to Rookies in the Real World, and in today's episode, we are joined by Emily Gigliotti, host of the Purpose Project podcast, one of my fave podcasts, as we discuss all things LinkedIn and networking in your early 20s.
It's Rookies in the Real World. With Lauren Lapid as your host, it's time for real talk on becoming an adult.
So, networking. Okay, I know for most of us, networking isn't like the most fun or most comfortable activity in the world to endure. But when done right, networking can be an incredibly powerful tool to get your foot in the door for a job you want or get you connected to someone who can really be a great resource for you in the future. So no, it may not be everyone's favorite cup of tea, but when you do get in the swing of it, it can actually be really fun and insightful because you never know who you're going to meet. And today I am so thrilled to introduce you to our guest. She like truly is one of my podcasting BFFs. She's a total girl boss and seriously one of the hardest hustlers I know. Everybody meet Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me, Lauren.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for making the time to be on the podcast. I'm so excited.
Me too. This is a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. So I'm so excited to chat with you about this.
And I feel like it's so pertinent now, like more than ever. I feel like networking is just so important during especially COVID-19. Like it's all about meeting people at this point.
Absolutely. I feel like from my professors and mentors, everyone's been saying that during COVID, the number one thing you can do is use this time to connect with people because all people are doing are sitting at home. They have more time.
They
on
have
their
time.
Hands. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're going to get you guys in tip-top shape to feel more comfortable at networking. But before we dive into questions, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Emily. Emily is a polished sport business professional who has experience in event and facility management across multiple areas. Through her experience within the industry, she understands the importance of teamwork, discipline, and communication on and off the field. She's continuously looking to learn new information, gain new skills, and discover ways to increase her value to help an organization. Her goal is to constantly manifest that she is the hardest worker in any room and be an honest asset to all areas of an organization. So that was so, oh my gosh, I'm like, wow. I love that.
You're so cool. I heard you reading that. I was like, that is the best intro I've ever had. And I was like, that sounds like my LinkedIn.
Yes. And ooh, spoiler alert, we're going to get into that. That was incredibly, incredibly well written. But I mean, as I mentioned in the intro, there's more to you than that. You have your own podcast. So why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I am the host of the Purpose Project podcast, where we have conversations and talk about all things real and just talk about things that people are wanting to hear so that they can feel more in tune and not so alone with what they're going through. So I have conversations with different people and bring them on to talk about different topics, about their careers, lifestyles, and different paths they took to get to where they are. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that we can learn a lot through one another. So that's what my podcast is all about, learning through not only my trials and tribulations, but also others and how they got to where they are in their career. And it's crazy to think I've only had the podcast for 3 months and it's just grown into such a community. I've gotten to meet such amazing people like yourself.
Yes!
And it's just been such a great process.
No, I totally agree. I like you just like love how honest and vulnerable your podcast is. It's very like no bullshit. And I really appreciate that because we live in a day and age where social media looks perfect and everybody's lives look perfect. Everybody on LinkedIn mm-hmm. looks like they're doing so well. And so just like I do love the purpose behind the Purpose Project. Ooh. So thank you for sharing your stories. I'm so glad that podcasting brought us together. So it's been fun.
Yeah, it really is.
So let's get into it. I thought it'd be good to start with LinkedIn, because I feel like that's probably the way most of us are networking right now. So like you said, that super badass bio from the intro is literally your about me on LinkedIn. It is so well written and professional. Can you talk a little bit about like what you wanted to convey, why you think LinkedIn bios are important, and then a little bit about like how you wrote that bio about yourself? Because I know a lot of us like hate writing about ourselves and hate having to like humble brag, and yours I think is so tastefully written. So I'd love to hear about that process.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It definitely took me a long time to write that. It had like different ways to write it and different ways to say what I was trying to put out. But basically, a LinkedIn bio is supposed to kind of be a preview or a sneak peek of who you are. I like to think about it as a LinkedIn version of a cover letter, because in a cover letter, you're trying to get the employer to look further into your resume. It's supposed to be a sneak peek into your resume. So your bio comes right up at the top of your profile. Mm-hmm. It's going to show you what you're all about. It's going to also highlight soft skills, which a lot of times you can't really highlight in a resume, although you should. It's going to really show your personal attributes that maybe you can't see on paperwork. Things like teamwork, creativity, work ethic. I mean, I use teamwork, discipline, communication, and manifest that I'm the hardest worker in a room. I think that's an extremely important thing for a candidate to be in any employer and any employee. So I really try to zoom in on that. And also, you also want to focus on what you want. So are you searching for jobs? Are you looking for work right now or
that's
not?
That's such a good point.
Definitely have that in your bio. And also what you need. I mean, for me, I need to be consistently learning and being challenged. I personally believe that if I'm not learning consistently at a job or in a position, I need to move on and move to the next thing. So I definitely wanted to include that in my bio and focus on that. And I'm not gonna lie, I didn't have a bio on my LinkedIn as of a year ago. I actually had a mentor that reached out to me and told me that I should add one because he was looking through my profile and he thought it looked really strong. But he's like, if you really want employers to look at your profile and actually reach out to you, you want to add that bio. So I did a ton of research. And I mean, a great way too is also looking at other people's bios.
Yes,
and kind of
totally
carving it around that. That's exactly what I did with my bio. I looked at other sport professionals that were in
my dream
position. And I kind of used a little bit of everyone's to kind of make it exactly who I am. It should be a representation of who you are.
Totally. And I'm so glad that you brought up like looking at people whose jobs you want, because I do think that, you know, like everybody's LinkedIn is going to be tailored to their industry, or at least it should be. So that's such a good point. If you like look at industry leaders and see kind of what they're doing, that's probably the gold standard. So like that's awesome. And yours does sound so unique to who you are. And like knowing you personally, like it all like clicks. Like, it's so confident, but at the same time, it's humble. You know, like, you talk about, like, wanting to be, like, in a team and, like, having good communication and working really hard. So, like, it isn't just, like, I'm the shit. It's, like, but, like, I'm a team player, too. And I think for people that are, like, our age, you know, like, young to mid-20s, it's so important to, like, kind of have that, like, forever learning perspective.
Absolutely. And that's a great point that you made, too, that your bio is and entire LinkedIn page is going to be completely different from someone who's in a different industry from you. So definitely when you're cultivating this profile, look into other people in your industry and see what they're doing. Someone who's in graphic design may be completely different from someone like me who's going into the sport industry and wants to be in management. It's a completely different aspect. So definitely look into who you want to be when you're older, literally, on other LinkedIn profiles, and like circle your bio and your profile around that.
Totally. So why do you think LinkedIn is important, especially for people like us in our age in this job market?
You know, I think it's becoming something that's a lot more important, especially with our generation. I feel like people are starting to get it that you need a LinkedIn. But for me, LinkedIn is the primary way that employers are searching for employees, other professionals that are networking with one another, and people are learning about their industry in general. I honestly treat my LinkedIn like a Facebook page. I follow industry leaders and I connect with industry leaders and follow businesses that are constantly updating on what's going on in my industry. That's how I keep on taps of what's happening in the sports world. When the first news I heard about minor league baseball canceling their season wasn't from the news. It wasn't from Instagram. It wasn't from Facebook. It was from LinkedIn.
Oh my gosh. Because,
yeah. It, I, It's crazy. If you follow the right amount of people, you can learn so much from your LinkedIn totally. Page. And it keeps me informed on things that are happening. And I think that is so important and so real for an employer to look into an employee and know that they know what's going on in the industry and the world that's happening. So definitely start early. I wish I would have had my LinkedIn sooner, so I would have been more adapt to everything going on. But it's so important. Connections, all of it. If you don't have a LinkedIn after this.
Get it.
Yes.
You need to. No, but I think that's such a good point that you make, though, and that like it helps you keep a pulse on the news, because I feel like a common misconception people have about LinkedIn, it's like, okay, I'll just throw my resume up, I'll add a photo, and that's where it ends. Mm-hmm. But like people see your activity, they see what you comment on. Yes. And I know for me, like there have been times where I've seen cool articles, and like if I like am vaguely connected to somebody, like I met another designer through one of my professors, and like, you know, we're LinkedIn connections, we're not BFFs, but like I saw an article and like tagged him in it because I was like, oh, this reminds me of your work. Like, this is really cool. And that like struck up a conversation. Yeah. And I hadn't spoken to this guy in like 6 months since I had graduated. And so it's a really good way to show professionals that like you care about what's going on, because I think it is really easy to just like have a LinkedIn, but showing that you're active on it, I feel like there's a level of professionalism and like seriousness that that shows.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that, because LinkedIn to me, I feel like is more friendly than sliding into someone's DMs on Instagram or Facebook or anything. It's so friendly. Everyone wants to help one another in your industry.
I agree.
So like you said, any articles you find, sending it to people that you sort of have a connection with and building that. I've connected with industry leaders that I want to be one day, and basically sending them a connection and a message and being like, hey, I would love to learn from you. How did you get to where you are? Can we set up a 15-minute like phone call? And connections you build from that, you don't know who's going to be where in the industry and who knows who. It's a very small world, every industry that. So if you start early and like build your LinkedIn up and connect with people, it's going to make your job process down the line
so much
10 times easier. Not that it's easy, guys, but it's going to help.
No, and honestly, LinkedIn kind of gets fun. Like, you're right. I use it more than Facebook. Mm. Like, I will be on there scrolling, liking things, and then I don't feel as bad about it because I'm like, yes, it's social media, but it's like productive social media.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's do it. Let's break down a LinkedIn profile by like its important parts. So the profile photo, we've already touched on the bio, and then like the experience section. So tell me about a good profile photo you've seen and a bad one.
Ooh, so good one is you just gotta see yourself and see your face. So it should be shoulders up. You can see your face, like I said. You're wearing professional dress, so like not wearing a t-shirt or a ball cap or whatever it may be. Your hair should be groomed. You should look professional. At least like you can, like we are on Zoom calls for work, pajama bottoms on the bottom, dress top on
the
top.
Nobody has to know.
Take the photo. Smile. I've noticed that a lot of people have very straight face. They look like prison photo profile pictures. And like, that doesn't look very inviting to talk
it's
to.
It's not friendly, no.
You want to look friendly. You want to look like, hey, come talk to me. Hire me. That's what you want. You really want it to look like
good vibes.
You. Exactly. And also have a neutral background. I know a lot of people that have actually taken photos from like with other people, and they just crop everyone out and crop their face.
Oh, no.
And you can see like a beach behind them or something.
It's like red flag.
Yeah. Just don't do that. Try to find a neutral background. Just try to make it plain as much as possible. And then a bad photo, I mean, it's pretty much just the opposite what I just said. Full body shots, you can't see your face, you're not wearing a professional top, you're not groomed, there's other people in the photo with you. Just make it clean, make it look good, and it should be a representation of you. So smile, look happy.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's like, think about it like this, guys. That's like the first impression on LinkedIn is the profile photo. So just keep that in mind.
It always comes up next to your name anytime you comment something, post something. So
it's everywhere.
What people are going to associate to your name.
Totally. Totally agree. So on to work experience. I think this is something a lot of people our age need to improve on. And it's something that I've tried to do better in the last year, because we need solid descriptions on these work experiences. So what are your takes on how much detail and like what to include in each job description?
Like I mentioned before, it's different and personal for each industry preference. Totally. So it can change from industry to industry. So keep that in mind. But in what I've seen is that there should be more of a description on your LinkedIn than your resume.
Agree.
A lot of resumes, it's just bullet points. You have three bullet points, a sentence each, where you try to like nail it home what you do for your work. Your resume, your LinkedIn should go into more depth about what you do. You should attach documents and photos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So like, for example, graphic designers, you guys got this. You have all the documents, all the projects you've done at work, social media experience. Link the social media platforms that you've worked
on. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A screenshot. Add them to all of your jobs, because the more information that you can provide, the better it is. And this is a little tip. So on your resume, it doesn't have all of your job experience, because on your LinkedIn, you have everything.
Everything.
Yes. Everything you've ever done. Like I have things back to freshman of college, like all of it. But on your resume should be changing per job that you're applying to. Mm-hmm. So at the top of my resume, I actually have a bit.ly link that has, it's bit.ly/Emily Gigliotti. And it goes directly to my LinkedIn.
Oh, that's nice. And then you get to track that.
Yeah, exactly. So I was told that by an industry professional that that's very helpful, especially for someone who has a lot of experience and I can only have four jobs on my resume until it follows the second page. So having that at the top right next to my email address and my phone number. So it's my name, my email address, phone number, and the bit.ly link. And I've been told multiple times by employers that they were able to type that easily into a webpage, hop right to my LinkedIn, and see all of my experience in more detail than my resume provides. And that's exactly what your experience on your resume, on your LinkedIn, should provide. It should provide detail and everything, documents, photos, all of it. Like you said earlier, you should be boasting about yourself. Like, talk highly about yourself. Like, you've done these amazing things. Like, you're confident. Like, show it off. And LinkedIn 100%. Is the number one place to do that, in my opinion.
I echo everything Emily just said. That was so well put. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I just, especially if you come from a field where you have KPIs or key performance indicators, this is a good time to add that, because sometimes on your resume, like, you're not going to have the space to say like, oh, like I got X amount of impressions, or like this return, like return on it, like revenue. And so your LinkedIn is a good place to add all those little details that you wanted to add onto your resume that like couldn't quite make the cut. And having measurable performance is so, so important to making you stand out. So definitely, definitely build those descriptions up. And don't be afraid to like ask a mentor or a peer that you really trust to look over it and be like, hey, like, does this sound good? Like, should I add more? Like, I think people, like Emily said earlier, people are more willing to help on LinkedIn than you'd think.
Absolutely. And there's a few really cool features that not all people know about that you can add to your profile page too.
Ooh, like what?
So you can actually have people write recommendations for you as an employer on your page. And that's very similar to asking someone saying, hey, can you check out this post? Part of my experience. Let me know if it sounds right.
Yeah.
While you're at it, would you mind writing me a recommendation just saying I'm a good employer? Or there are skills that you can endorse people for at the bottom of a page. So I have public speaking, and at one of my positions, I was an MC, and I asked everyone that I worked with at that position to endorse me for public speaking. And it helps when you have 10 people with all of their names and where they work endorsed Emily Gigliotti for public speaking. It's just those little things that you can always consistently work on and really amp up your LinkedIn page, because there are thousands on thousands of other LinkedIn pages. You have to make yours shine in your own unique way.
I totally agree. Oh my goodness. You are this LinkedIn queen. I'm so happy. No, never too much. But I mean, if you're using LinkedIn a lot, do you ever make a LinkedIn post? Do you think that they're helpful?
Absolutely. Like I said, I use LinkedIn just as much as I would Facebook. So I would say I'm active probably at least 1 to 2 days a week, if not more. If I get a notification on my LinkedIn, I will hop over there and probably spend a good 10 to 15 minutes on there regardless.
Yes.
So honestly, I think I'm probably there at least once a day for 10 minutes, probably.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. But I mean, I'd rather spend it on LinkedIn than Facebook, honestly.
True.
But sharing articles that are very important in your industry, commenting on others' posts that have new jobs, maybe they're announcing something, commenting on it and just saying congratulations, or looking forward to learning more about this, or sending someone a message asking them, how did you do this? Like, let's have a conversation. Being active on LinkedIn is the best way to connect with others. So why would you not do it? I mean, it's just like other social medias. You're active because you want to connect with others, see what they're doing, what's going on, share what you're doing. It's the same way, just in a professional atmosphere. And who wouldn't want that for their career?
Totally. Guys, seriously, there is so, so much value to using LinkedIn and doing it right. So to kind of wrap up this section, can you tell me about just like your top three LinkedIn best practices that you actually practice?
Absolutely. One, connect with other people and learn from them who are in your industry. I said it earlier in the episode, but I have reached out to people who are in my dream positions and basically connected with them, added a message to the connection. That's the key.
So important.
Don't just connect. You have to add a personal message to it and let them know why you're connecting. Because if you guys don't know each other, they're not going to connect with you. So let them know why you're connecting. And once you're connected, send them a message and just spark a conversation. Ask them for 15 minutes of their time. If it wasn't Corona, ask them to get coffee for 10 minutes.
Yes, agree. Yeah.
Obviously, we can't do that. But phone calls, Zoom calls, all of it, they're so easy. And people are more willing to help, like Lauren said earlier. LinkedIn is so helpful. And then number two, I would say it's kind of a mixture of two and three, but just keep your profile updated constantly. Be adding dates and images and documents. Like you said, once you finish a project, upload it right away so you remember what it's about and you can add a description, how many hours you worked on it, who worked, all of this stuff. Do it so you remember, because honestly, for me, I look back on my LinkedIn when I can't remember dates of positions.
Same here.
Yeah, or what things I did during the positions. Like, I don't remember precisely what exactly the numbers I produced when I was a restaurant supervisor in 2017. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a minute ago. There's a lot happening.
Yes, and a lot's gone on.
Yeah, but keeping your LinkedIn updated is not only good for employers, but good for yourself too. Just to keep track of what you're doing and kind of look back and be like, oh my God, I'm so proud of myself too. Like,
yes.
You know? But yeah, those are definitely my top like two tricks and tips, because I mean, like we've said 100 times, LinkedIn's so important. So again, if you don't have one, get one.
Get on it. Totally. LinkedIn is a living, breathing, evolving documentation of your professional life. So keep updating it. Stay active, guys. I'm so excited to see like how LinkedIn is going to continue to evolve in the world that we live in. And I think it's only going to get more important moving forward. So with that, let's get to the in-person networking. Ooh, in-person networking. I have such mixed feelings. There are sometimes I go into a networking event and I'm like, let's do this. Like, I am ready. Like, I'm going to meet three people. And then there are sometimes I walk into a networking event and I feel so small. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, and I think everybody kind of feels that same general anxiety. But to begin, hit us with your introduction or like personal elevator pitch that you use when you're at an in-person networking event.
When someone says elevator pitch, I think I get like the chills because it's such an intimidating thing to say, because I feel like it was drilled in our heads so much when we were in college. Mm-hmm. Like, have your elevator pitch. You'll use it on an elevator. Like, do it.
I've never used it in an elevator.
I actually have. I will tell that story in a moment.
Spicy.
Yes. But first and foremost, you can have multiple elevator pitches, and you should. You should spice them up, have different reasonings behind each. There's going to be a different pitch for a career fair that you're at, trying to pitch yourself to someone who's at a booth trying to find employees. It's going to be different at a networking event where you're networking with other professionals in your industry. And then, like I said, legit on an elevator. It's happened to me, and I have used it, and it helped me at an event.
That's amazing.
So I'll tell that story in a little bit. But so I'll just give you a kind of generic elevator pitch. So if I were to bump into someone, I would say, "Hi, I'm Emily Gigliotti, an aspirational future sport executive. I'm currently studying at Temple University to earn my master's in sport business with a concentration in recreation and event management. For the past year, I have worked as an event coordinator at a stadium in North Philadelphia and as a marketing assistant for a local mixology company. I have goals to work in a professional sport front office and one day become a general manager of a minor league baseball team. I would be thrilled to connect and have a conversation about future opportunities." And then this at the end is when you're handing your business card to them. And
yes.
You can't see that because it's a podcast, but
she's handing me the business card, guys. I'm taking the business card. No, that was so, so great. That was like incredibly short, but in that short time, you were able to tell me like what you're studying, your background, what you've accomplished and what you hope to accomplish. And it was like so smooth.
And that's exactly what an elevator pitch should embody. So if you're kind of trying to build your elevator pitch, always start with your name. The amount of times people forget to say their name is unreal. So start with your name and say who you are in a short sentence. And you could, like I said, an aspirational future sport executive because I want to be in that field. I'm not in there yet because I'm still studying. And then that's when I hit them with that I'm studying at Temple University, this, this, and this. If you were in an industry, you would say, I'm a computer technician at XYZ company. Say your title with your name. It should go hand in hand. And then you should talk about two experiences that you've had in the past that really embody who you are and your experiences, but you don't have to mention where you worked, what the company was, any of it. Just say very general statements. If they want to learn more, you can talk with them at another time. Elevator pitches, I mean, I don't know what you were taught. I was taught 1 minute tops. Like 30 seconds is chef's kisses, but like you said, at the end, you want to tell them what you want to do and what your goal is through connecting and what your goals are in the future. So if you were just looking to connect with people at a networking event, you would end with something like, I would love to connect with you to learn more about your role in the industry and what you do at your job. Like, that's how you would end it. But for me, I'm looking for a job. So I'm going to say what my future aspirations are and how I'm planning to get there.
Love that. Can you tell us a little bit about your actual elevator pitch in an elevator?
Oh my gosh. So it was actually in December and I was at the winter baseball meetings in San Diego, California. I got it was really cool. I got the opportunity to go there through a professor of mine. He told me about the opportunity and there was actually a job fair there. At every winter baseball meetings, they have a job fair called the PBEO job fair. And it's where minor league and some major league teams are looking to hire.
That's so cool.
It's really cool. It's like a 3-day event. It's awesome. But you're also in the midst of Major League Baseball making decisions and trades and all of it. So I was getting into the elevator to go down to the next networking event. And I got in the elevator with the general manager. And I got talking to him and I gave him a mini elevator pitch because he asked me who I was. He actually sparked the conversation first. So it's kind of not the same thing, but he was really cool.
Still cool.
Yeah. And we got to talking. And once I got off the elevator and walked away, I connected with him on LinkedIn. And in the personal message, I was like, hey, I am the girl that you were just talking to in the elevator. I would love to connect and maybe have a little more of a conversation. And after the winter meetings ended and I went back to Philadelphia, we stayed in touch and he actually emailed me a few weeks later and asked me if I was looking for any job opportunities. At that time, I actually wasn't because I had already signed on something, but it was really cool because he was like, I'm looking for some people. Like, if you're interested, if not, let's stay in touch over the future. I'd love to talk to you later down the line.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's like actually incredible.
It was really cool. And I was like, I remember going back to my friends. I was like, guys, I used the elevator, the actual elevator.
The elevator. That is incredible. And that sounds like a very successful networking experience. Can you tell us about one of your more awkward networking experiences and how you kind of like got yourself out of the situation?
So it's just like a really general one, but the person mm-hmm. that I was talking to didn't give any energy or response back. They were very neutral. They didn't really, because I'm a very energetic person.
No, I was going to say, I feel like you're the kind of person that if you're talking to me and you're giving me energy, I'm like, oh yeah, like I want to match this girl's energy.
Exactly. I'm all up in people's faces. It's in a good way.
The best way.
I try to like exude energy to get it back, but this person was not giving it back to me. So I felt like I was holding the conversation the entire time.
That's exhausting.
And I just wanted to like run away from the person, but I couldn't because I started the conversation. Mm. So I had to keep it going. After 2 minutes, I was like, well, it was very nice meeting you. I shook their hand and I just like sprinted.
Like, farewell. Well, yeah. I feel like we're all going to go as we begin networking. We're all going to encounter some really great experiences and some like not so great experiences. So it is important to realize that, you know, like as amazing as you like feel at a networking event, just not everybody is going to be at that level. And that's like totally okay. And don't let that deter you. So what on like that note, what would you consider to be like the hardest part about in-person networking? And like what steps do you take to overcome it?
Yeah, I feel like the biggest thing for me is if I'm talking to someone in my industry or whatnot, I have a really big fear of sounding stupid or sounding like I don't know what I'm talking about or saying the wrong thing that offends someone. That is like such a big fear of mine. And I believe that the only way to really get over any of that fear is just to practice and figure out your self-confidence in the industry. And when you know your worth as a professional, it makes it easier to talk to others and talk about your accomplishments too. I mean, I know if I'm just starting a job, but I'm learning so much, I am less inclined to talk about and boast myself up than a year down the line. And I'm like, I got this skill, like the back of my hand, I got this. And I just talk about it. It's completely different because you're confident in yourself at that point. And really, like I said, it all just comes with practice. I mean, did you feel that way when you first started your job? I feel like I've listened to a podcast of you talking about that.
Oh, yeah. I was faking that shit hard, guys. I really – and, like, that's the thing, you know, like, at the beginning of networking, I wouldn't speak too much about – like, I think the first 3 months of my job, I didn't really talk about what I did at the job. I said my title, generally what my team worked on, but I would highlight more of the things that I had accomplished in, like, previous jobs because I just didn't feel comfortable enough yet to speak about the job and the company I was at, you know, because again, I didn't want to like flub, like make some sort of a rookie mistake or say a fact incorrectly. And I feel like that's something LinkedIn has helped me in keeping a pulse with news for me in the design and media and entertainment industry. I like have learned and learned more and more facts and I'm better about like the news. And so I feel more confident. And I think that's something that's so important to realize is that, yeah, like Emily said, like it comes with time, but also before any networking event, like do your research too and have like 5 fast facts in your head about the industry or like an article that you recently read, something like that for when conversations lull, you could pull out one of your fun little cocktail facts and hopefully get the conversation running again.
Absolutely. That's a really good tip that I actually haven't used. I'm definitely going to put that in my back pocket. No, that's a really good idea to kind of read an article about the industry or something that happened and bring it up to someone. Be like, hey, have you read the article on Forbes about this, this, and this? And then if not, be like, I'd love to send it to you. Do you want to connect on LinkedIn? Like,
exactly. It makes such a smooth slide.
Yeah, because it's very awkward sometimes going up to people.
Agreed.
But like you said, all about practice, all about finding your self-confidence, and it comes with experience. And I think another thing, it's making yourself uncomfortable on purpose will help you practice. So you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And if you don't push yourself to go to those networking events or connect with others on LinkedIn, even though it may be really nerve-wracking, really uncomfortable, like when we hear networking events, we kind of like, get a little skeevy, like, oh, like you have to. And like you said, sometimes we're like, heck yeah, let's do it. But you have to push yourself out of your boundaries in order to learn, in order to grow. And I think that it goes hand in hand with networking and really understanding how to get confident in that way. And some ways that I've done that in the past and gotten comfortable with that is just going to networking events, signing up. If you live in a city, I can tell there are hundreds of networking events available. Even if it's not your industry, go to another industry event and learn. Like, learn about other people. Make connections. You never know who's going to help
industry
you.
Be industry adjacent, yeah.
Yeah, you never know who's going to help you down the line. Another thing that's helped me, and I think this is a nationwide organization, but it's called Toastmasters. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I've never heard of that.
So it's a big thing in my area in Philadelphia, but I've heard of it in other areas. And I think they're a worldwide organization. But Toastmasters, it's basically a public speaking organization where you sign up for a membership, and it's adults. It's people from their 20s all the way up to their 50s and 60s who get together once a month in their organization in their area, and they basically practice public speaking.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've been invited a few times by my professor. I have yet to go, but she speaks so highly of it because she is like, I've learned to become a professor and to become okay with talking in front of 300 people because of this organization.
That's incredible.
It's really cool. So there's tons of resources out there for you to practice these things. And like I said before, another tip is LinkedIn, connecting with people and setting up those phone calls and those coffee dates when Corona's over. But getting out of your comfort zone and pushing yourself for 15 minutes in a public space to talk to someone about your industry is really going to help you build your confidence and build your network as well.
I 100% agree. And guys, as intimidating as a networking event is, just set yourself baby step goals first. So like for your first networking event, if your goal is to just get one person on LinkedIn and then you get more comfortable, and then the next one, maybe it's three people on LinkedIn and then you want to get a coffee date out of it, you know? So I think it's really important to set goals for yourself to kind of help you progress, but also be like realistic about it, you know, like challenge yourself and know your boundaries. But just know that networking is like, it's hard on everyone. We're all in the same boat. Like, there's going to be some of the best people I've met at networking events are people that I, like, you know, like you make eye contact across the room and you both kind of had that, like, help me look.
Yeah.
And I've met, like, the coolest people through that. And then together we feel more comfortable approaching, like, you know, like the bigger guns in the room. So, like, really, like, you can meet so many cool people through networking.
Absolutely. I've met some amazing people through random networking events that I was forced to go to by my university. They were like, you need to go to this in order to graduate. And I'm like, oh, fine. But I went and I met so many cool people that I'm still connected with to this day after school. And like I said, you never know who's going to be in what job later on down the line. Sally that you sat next to in freshman year physics class, she may be a boss of a company that you want to work for one day.
Exactly. Like,
there are connections everywhere. Connect with everyone, talk to everyone, and try to build your network.
I 100% agree. So I feel like you would have so many great ways to break the ice. I imagine you, like, I just feel like if I met you at a networking event, you'd be the person I'd be like, oh my gosh, I want to be Emily when I grow up. So tell me about tips to breaking the ice.
Well, you just gave me a great one. Let's highlight that again. Have a fact or an article. Like, that is my new favorite. I cannot wait to use that when this is over.
I'm so excited. You have to let me know how it goes.
I love that. So definitely use that. I've always started a conversation, especially with other women. It's kind of different if a man's going to a woman or a woman's going to a man. I don't, it's just social construct. But when I'm talking to another woman, compliment their outfit.
Yes.
So easy to start a conversation with someone.
Good point.
Compliment their outfit. I've literally gone up to women and be like, oh my God, I love your blazer. Where did you get it? I'm trying to add new ones to my collection for work. You have any inexpensive places I can shop for workout? Like, simple ways like that. And then you're like, oh, by the way, I'm Emily. And you shake hands and then you start talking.
Perfect.
Easy slide in way. You break the ice.
Love that.
And the other one is just asking people about themselves. People love talking about themselves. Like, and don't like, if you're listening, is rolling your eyes. Like, you love talking
it's
about
true,
yourself,
though.
Too.
It's so true, guys. Think about Instagram. That entire feed is you talking about yourself.
Oh, heck yeah. People love boasting about themselves and talking about their accomplishments, as we all should. But if you want to start a conversation with someone, ask them what they do for a living. Ask them where they went to school. Ask them whatever.
People just love talking about their college days.
Yeah. Ask questions. Because also, you never know when you're going to have a similar connection. I remember at a networking I went in the city last year. I was in grad school at this point, so I wasn't my undergrad. But I asked the person, oh, where do you go to school? I overheard you talking to someone else about something and it sounded familiar. And they said they went to the original university I started college at, where I transferred from. So, and it's a very small school. So it was really cool being like, oh my God, you went there? Let's talk about it. And that kind of created an initial situation where we were able to connect and then talk about other things. So talk about other people. Ask them about themselves. I promise people will respond. They're not going to be like, well, where'd you go to school? Temple.
That's true.
They're not going to do that. Like, you're going to have a banter back and forth. It's an easy way to slide in.
That is such good advice. Thank you, Emily. So let's say you meet someone, but there isn't an opportunity that they can give you now, but you want to make sure that you sustain that professional relationship. How do you go about doing that? Because I feel like that's the hard part. The easy part is being like, all right, we're connected on LinkedIn, baby. But the hard part is like, okay, like what if like a year down the line, you know, like you see them post a job and you haven't sustained that relationship? I feel like that's a very common blunder. So like, what are your tips to sustaining that conversation?
Well, first and foremost, at these networking events or anything, always end a conversation by connecting. Either if it's through LinkedIn, grabbing their business card, sending them an email after the event, and always follow up. I've noticed I connect with people at a LinkedIn and at a networking event, and I connect on LinkedIn with them. But if I don't send them a message maybe the next morning that I was like, hey, loved chatting with you last night. Would you like to chat some more over coffee one day next week or something under those lines?
Yeah.
Always follow up and always keep connections, because connections don't stop like at that one pressing connect button. Mm-hmm. You always have to be constantly checking in, seeing how they are. Commenting on their posts is an easy way to stay connected.
So easy.
Yeah, because your name just pops up on their feed and they remember because they see your name in your photo because you messaged them when you connected. So just constantly doing that. You don't have to get coffee with someone every week to stay connected. Just comment, like, just interact with their feed. Do it. But absolutely, without a doubt, after every conversation at a networking event, get contact information. And if they don't want to give you the contact information, you don't want that connection anyways.
I agree. That is such good advice. Kind of on the same thread, what do you think are some common networking blunders when like you're in person?
My biggest pet peeve is when someone has a really bad handshake. And I'm not going to get into the details, but you can Google or like YouTube what a good handshake is. Figure out your handshake. It's very important. Having eye contact too when you talk to someone is extremely important. I get frustrated when I'm talking to someone and they're like looking up to the right and they're not looking at me.
It just feels disrespectful. Like even if you don't mean it to be disrespectful, it feels like you don't care.
It feels like your attention is elsewhere. Yeah, exactly. So that's another thing. And then also like the mishap I had before, the really awkward conversation, someone being neutral and showing no expressions. So if someone's talking to you and you're listening, just give them like a quick nod or like a or just like don't keep your body language so offensive. You want to be interacting even though you're not talking. So definitely show facial expressions, smile, just be yourself in all aspects.
Yes, I completely agree. Like we're all humans. You don't need to be weird about it. So to wrap up before we get to rapid fire takeaways, is there anyone that you've met via a networking event that you still keep in touch with?
It was also at the winter baseball meetings. It was
very cool.
That entire experience was amazing. But I connected not only the elevator, this is another situation, but I had applied to a job at the fair, but they had already filled it. And I was notified that, but I let the gentleman know. I was like, in the response to the email, I attached my resume and my LinkedIn profile. And I was like, here's all my information. If you ever want to stay connected in the future, I would love to talk, even if it's a year down the line. And at the winter baseball meetings, he actually, after I sent that email, emailed me back and was like, would you love to meet for 15 minutes tonight just to like chat and get to know one another? And that was like an in the moment. I was literally in San Diego when this happened. I was like, okay. So we met in the hotel lobby and we talked for like 30 minutes about my goals and my career aspirations and who he was. And he's a general manager and what he does. He's basically doing what I want to do one day. So he was like, stay in touch, connect with me. And then after I left, I followed up with him and we email every like 2 or 3 months, just like checking
in.
That's
so cool.
And it was really great. Yeah. So never underestimate the power of a follow-up or pushing your resume or pushing your LinkedIn, because you should be proud about what you do and always confidently boast about yourself and just try to keep those connections, because you never know who's going to help you down the line.
I 100% agree. That was all so, so amazing. Emily, seriously, you are phenomenal. I can't thank you enough for coming onto this episode.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm like honored. I love your podcast. So before we wrap, we end every episode of Rookies with rapid fire questions. So don't overthink it.
Okay.
Whatever first comes to mind. If you could change one thing about your LinkedIn right now, what would it be?
My profile photo, because it was taken 5 years ago and my hair is very short and now it's long.
Gotcha. What is your one pro tip to having a LinkedIn that stands out?
Your bio, like we talked about earlier.
Bang, bang. What are your top three must-dos when it comes to networking in person?
Connect afterwards.
If it's like only one, that's totally fine.
I feel like that's the biggest thing. Always biggest connect. Thing. Connect. And never stand in the corner. Always be talking to someone.
That's such good advice. Okay, what is the best piece of advice you have ever received regarding self-confidence?
The only way you're going to find your self-confidence is through yourself. It's not going to be through outside motivators. It's only through inside motivators. So don't be blaming outside factors on the fact that you're not confident. It's an internal thing. You got to figure it out.
I completely agree. That was so amazing. Emily, thank you so much for taking the time to come on to Rookies. Where can our listeners find you? Can they connect with you on LinkedIn?
Yes, please do. Make sure you send a message, though, where you're coming from.
That's true.
But yeah, my name is Emily Gigliotti. It will be in the show notes and the title. So yes. It's hard to spell. So just copy and paste it from there. So you can find me on Instagram at mgigliotti. And then The Purpose Project, you can find on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other listening platforms. And the Instagram for The Purpose Project is at The Purpose Project Pod. And thank you so much again for having me. It was so nice chatting with you about one of my favorite topics.
Yes. No, this was so much fun. And I feel like we made networking and LinkedIn fun for the last hour. And, you know, that's step one, guys, knowing that this could actually be fun and exciting. So be sure to give Emily's podcast a listen. Seriously, you won't regret it. She is amazing. Give her some love on Apple Podcasts. And if you like today's episode, share it with a friend. This is a really great resource. So share it on your Instagram. Send it to 2 people that you think could really use this message right now. And of course, keep your chin up through these crazy times. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next Wednesday.